Hi, I'm Anjali May, and I'm dying to meet you. And welcome to another episode of Dying to Meet You, and I'm Anjali May, and today I have this guest with me. Yes, Goh Theng Kit.
Hello.
I know him for, I think, about 6 years, maybe?
More than that. Yeah, 6 years, six, seven years.
So I'm very privileged to have him here today. And as a lot of you will probably find out, that Dying to Meet You is a podcast where I want to interview people of all walks of life to get them to share about different challenges they go through, and then how do they overcome challenges, or even just snippets of like success or your own life journey with us. So yes, thank you for being here with us. So just for the audience, maybe you can share a little bit more, what do you do, and a little bit about yourself.
Okay, maybe let me just start with my family. So I'm married, I have 3 kids. My eldest now is 21, going 22 soon. I have a 20-year-old boy as well. And lastly, one teenage girl, 16 years old, now doing O-levels. So it's kamchong period right now for her. I work my day job in one of the insurance company in Singapore, one of the big ones, in fact, as a chief customer officer, very much looking at all things concerning customer, how we market to them, how we talk to them, engage them, serve them better, how we better target them. And so on. So anyway, yes, that's what I do in my day job. Besides that, I also run my own podcast, again, shamelessly, marketing it, which is called Black and White Let's Talk. Actually, Anjali appeared as one of the guests, so you can check it out.
Yes.
Episode 3, she talked about dying to meet you too. So we are exchanging roles today.
In fact, your podcast is a lot about business. And I remember that the podcast that I did with you and Dennis, you guys ask me questions that I never thought, you know, about business, about how I overcome certain challenges. Because my podcast is always about interviewing other people. So that particular podcast also allowed me to have some reflection about myself too. But you should share with us a little bit about your background, because you come from all corporate roles,
right? From the corporate, career-wise, I always tell people that I'm a bit of a rojak lah when it comes to my career
rojak
path.
Is like because
mix, yeah. And that's because I am shamelessly marketing myself as a jack of all trades, master of none. All right. So I'm a marketing person, business manager kind of person, but across many different industries. I have done FMCG before, fast moving consumer goods, marketed shampoos, marketed diapers. I have also gone into the tobacco trade, helped in the marketing, which I learned a lot. A lot of people do have a certain view about the tobacco trade. But honestly, those 8 years that I've been in tobacco trade has been one of my most enjoyable ones as well. Then I went to chemical industry as well, right? Actually ran a plant in Jurong making paints, decorative paints that you put on the walls of your homes and so on. And then somehow the stars kind of aligned, and at the right timing, I went into the banking industry. Managed to join one of the local banks in Singapore as a chief marketing officer for their consumer banking unit. Spent very nice 4.5 years, good learning, 4 years, 4.5 years there. And from there, I switched to where I am right now, which is one of the big insurance company in Singapore. So, rojak. Background, career.
Oh, yeah, it's very interesting. So, but you never smoked, even though you were in a
social lah. When social. I was in the tobacco trade, social.
You have to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's so.
No, I wouldn't say have to. In some ways, it's such a good way to use that to break down the walls when you meet new people, when you meet especially distributors. Because out of the 8 years, I was actually based in Taiwan for 3 years. The incidence of smoking is higher in Taipei. And it's such an easy social thing to break down, right? You go down, have one stick with a distributor and start to talk business. Very easy to relate.
In fact, you know, there was an episode in Friends that I watched years ago, and it was about Rachel. So there was an episode where Rachel wanted to pick up smoking because she was not given opportunities by her boss, who's a smoker, and all the opportunity was always given to another lady who smokes with the boss as well. Yeah, so that was the first time I realized, like, wow, I didn't realize how people, you know, do business or like, talk. And sometimes you have to sacrifice in a way.
So, talk about friends, actually quite sad. I think 2 days ago, one of the characters just passed away.
Yes,
Matthew Perry. So sad.
Oh, he's my favorite friend.
Yeah, well, he's the funny
one.
In
fact, you know, I read his book last year. I bought his book. I finished reading very quickly also. But he was struggling a lot with mental health. And
he went to alcohol, right?
Yeah, so if you look at Friends, like there are episodes of him where he's very slim. And then he put on a lot of weight. And then he's like, his weight is a yo-yo. So in his book, he actually talks about it. Like when you see him in this state, what kind of abuse he was suffering from. Yeah, so he had a medical condition. That's why his, I think his intestine or colon.
Oh, so it's a medical, not just mental, depression.
It's all together.
So that's the thing about celebrity. Actually, this morning, my wife and I were just talking about Matthew Perry, right? So it's like, very sad. He's same age as me, 54.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, passed away and drowning, which is like, how could someone drown in your own bathtub? It's either something has happened, right? Unless medically he blacked out, then he happened to have a bath and then drowned. But very sad to hear about him passing on.
Yeah, in fact, I sort of forgotten that Coco Lee also passed away this year.
Yes, also this
year.
And,
you know, when I was reading the article about Matthew Perry and there was like subtitles and then it was Coco Lee. And I was like, oh yeah, she also have chosen to end.
Quite poor thing. I mean, we always see them in such glorious, you know, appearance, always looking very nice in front of camera. But behind them, they are under a lot of pressure, it seems. And they also give themselves a lot of pressure.
They do.
They are under so much limelight. And then sometimes when they are not in certain limelight, they may feel a little bit the insecurity. You know, and that can lead to a lot of mental wellness issue, right?
What about for you? Because you've been in sort of quite a high position. You're too modest. But you know, in position where there are expectations, how do you manage that? I think in your day-to-day, as well as you have three kids, you know, how do you then... Because one of the biggest topics I always wanted to explore is how do you give mental resilience to your children? And I think that in today's context is so important, you know. And you don't want them to be strawberry generation. So share about your experience.
Okay, too. So maybe a bit more about the challenges I've gone through as well, and how I overcame it. Naturally, I've been working for, I think, close to 30 years, very fast. Right, close to 30.
You started working at 15?
Thank you. I thought you said 10. I look 40. Okay, so close to 30 years, of course, not everything is smooth sailing, right? There are periods of which, as you say, actually that's true. You're given a pretty nice title, and therefore there's an expectation to perform by not just your boss, your team, and so on. And because of that, you do get quite stressed out. I remember there were maybe two occasions of which it was quite low point in the career that I actually did feel a bit depressed. And it's not, I mean, if someone is in depression, they don't admit or they don't know it. That's what I realized. I think at that time I was feeling a bit depressed, but it was people around me, particularly my wife, that noticed it and said that, hey, either the mood change, I came home and don't talk much. And I talk a lot, don't talk much. And something must be bothering me, right? And and I think what bothered me was because I always felt I couldn't live up to my boss' expectation. It's like, it made me feel like I'm not good enough all the time. And that's when I felt, moody, really quite down for that period of time. So how did I overcome it? Actually, the second one is one more serious. The first one, thankfully, changed your boss. The second boss was more encouraging and that stuff, so it was very good. Okay, so the second downtime, it was harder. But I somehow one day did tell myself that, it's still a job, it's just a job, right? I mean, I know I've always tried my best and do my best in my job. There's no point subjecting myself to that person's expectation. There's no way on. And I could tell you that boss' expectation is very high. Whatever I do, there is always some fault. something always on 4-1. Don't go into details. People will know who I'm referring to. It's like, always on 4-1. Oh. This one, light not bright enough. Also got 4. This box not big enough. Also got 4. Always got 4-1. So because of that, you just feel down. So one day I just tell myself, it's just a job, right? So I actually tell myself to seek my own definition of where I think I've succeeded through other things. So I switch my attention into the performance of my team, for example. The performance of my downlines, my reporting managers and so on, right? That if they are successful, right? If they feel that they are pushing things, they're able to do things. So I focus my attention on helping them overcome their hurdles, right? Wow. And that helps. Because after that, I think my team felt it as well.
Yeah.
That sometimes when I get into certain meetings with that boss, right, they could see that I was quite belittled, you know.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Huh. But they came out and I just came out and I would smile and said, okay, let's do it. Never mind, no problem. They were like I felt they drew energy from it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It felt like, hey, if the boss can be belittled in the meeting like that, and I walk out and still smiling and say, never mind, let's just go for it. They drew that motivation from it.
Wow.
And that kept me going as well. So that was fantastic.
I think a lot of people could resonate with that you have the boss actually plays a very, very big role. Or not just the boss, whoever you're reporting to, they do affect your energy.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, I met up with one of my ex-colleagues, ex-staff, who she was, when I saw her, so we took about 3 months after she joined a new job. I was her reference in her new job. And then when I talked to her, she said that she doesn't have an understanding boss. So I think it's a lot of times, how do you be a good boss or how do you be a good supervisor to your team? And the encouragement is so important. If you have someone who's, like you say, you know, every fine details, then how do you walk past that? So what is your other methods? Like first, you sort of build a shield. You did a paradigm shift.
Yeah, paradigm shift.
Yeah,
correct.
You did a paradigm shift. Yeah. So paradigm shift, I use it a lot when I feel like, oh, things are not happening. And you keep, you know, dwelling into that hole, you get even deeper and deeper. So sometimes it's about doing that paradigm shift. Yeah. I do want to take this opportunity to do sharing about your experience now working from a bank then to, you
insurer.
Know, insurance. Yeah. Why do you think everybody needs insurance?
Oh, wow.
Or do you think people need insurance? Maybe let's start with that.
Actually, in the end, insurance is to help your family when things happen, right? Even it's not, let's say, death benefit, right? Of a death benefit is very clear, right? So you're no longer around, then your family at least has a lump sum of money to be able to have some comfort of life, right? Carrying on. Even when you are sick or unfortunately meet up with some bad sickness, right? Chronic diseases and so on. Think about it in the end. Of course, it's helpful to yourself. There's some of money. It's again your family, especially for those people who are so breadwinner and so on. When you are sick, you can't make as much money. Our biggest worry is how can our family still be comfortable besides, you know, us getting the medical treatment and so on. So I think that's the important bit about insurance. I know a lot of people are like, wow, lao eh, taboo, talk about insurance, that means bad things. It's not. It's really helping to protect your family. So I actually realized that when I started going to the financial industry. Before that, it's just like, whatever my friend asked me, hey, you want to consider
support,
buying?
Support.
So just support, just buy, right? Then after I gone into the financial industry, then you start to realize how important actually it is.
So
I know sometimes you see an insurance agent at Roadshow or Siam. No, if you're not covered, find one that has good chemistry with you. I think that's important.
Yeah.
A financial advisor or financial consultant that's good chemistry with you, are able to really understand what you need, then yeah, you see what you need and seek the person's advice.
I totally agree. I mean, I'm a big believer in insurance. Having been, you know, what you said, breadwinner passed away, and then my dad passed away
without insurance.
Right? Yeah. So that woke me up. And I remember my very first policy was with John Hancock. And then John Hancock was sold. And I remember how I bought my first policy. It was an endowment policy. And guess who asked me to buy, right? My ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
he's like, oh, you need to buy this. I said, for what? And this was like, maybe I was uni, my last year of uni. And he's like, oh, you need to buy it. And later on, then I realized he asked me to buy it force saving. He said, oh, force yourself to save. Mm. But it's actually because he got some referral. Yeah, so he asked me to buy the policy, right? So I didn't know what I was buying.
Oh, so your ex-boyfriend wasn't an agent?
No, agent.
Oh, but he get referral fee.
Yeah, so he was like, hey, you know, my so-and-so. That was, he was his sister's boyfriend was in insurance company.
Okay,
So then I was like, oh, okay, I just gong-gong and I just buy it. But actually, I lapsed that policy because after that, I realized it didn't meet what I wanted. So I actually went, you know, I went into financial advisory. And that was when I realized before I get an endowment, actually the first thing I should be getting is life.
Life and health.
Medical. Yeah. And I think that's, now things have changed, right? Back then it's like support, you buy this.
Yeah.
But now financial advisors, you have to do all the proper needs analysis and then PTPA and you need to profile the client and then do the recommendation. Mm. So I agree with you, like finding someone that resonates with you, who can also understand what you need is so crucial.
Mm.
And then really get yourself covered. You know, the day I was like, actually my girl is very well insured. I think that's something that my mom did for us also. When we were young, she got us a policy. And you will be surprised when things happen, how insurance could really, really help lessen the burden for the family.
Precisely.
So that's why...
Not so much of the person that has insured actually is for the family.
Get yourself insured. If you don't have FA or insurance agent...
打这个电话.
Please click on the link below.
Oh yeah, I didn't answer the question about building resilience about children. Maybe I answer that one first.
Yes, please.
I think my kids know we live a rather simple life. Okay, of course there are certain luxury that we do and all the stuff, but take for example food and all that stuff. My kids know I'm a hawker food guy. I go kopitiam like today. Oh, my kopi is there. This one is courtesy by
Yuen Yang.
Right. I like this kind of simple drinks one. Right. We don't fancy going fine dining and all that stuff. And occasionally like kids' birthday. Okay, we do bring them to a much nicer hotel restaurant. Not even fine dining, the nicer. And it's nice to see my kids' reaction. They look at the menu and say, wow. Expensive leh.
Mm-hmm.
Why you come to this kind of expensive place? So it's a nice thing that they do. So the reason I say that is because I guess I always try not to give them the sense of entitlement. Right? I think these days our kids are honestly very fortunate. I know every generation we say that. I'm sure my parents will say that of us. Very fortunate. And when you do that, they tend to have this sense of entitlement, right? So anything they don't get it, they will feel like, oh, why I'm do I don't have you know, stuff. So I think first step is that don't give them that everything so or they want you give. Or build them this Barbie world of which everything is rosy. No, right? If things happen, you know, help them, support them to face it. Right. So honestly, I think that's important. And let them experience some failures from young.
Mm.
So you start from young. And I on one of my children actually did face a rather shocking experience, right? In the sense of which I'm actually very proud of him. I must put on record that he overcame his own failure in that sense, right? And now I see him very confident guy. Occasionally he still thought about it. It's like, yeah, went through that because of that I'm behind a bit. But no, he has done very well now for his IB. He's now in university. Mm. And I think that's great that he had tasted that big defeat once when he was actually 15.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, so when that happened, we just make sure...
Academic.
Mm. So me and my wife just make sure that we are around him and support him. We watch him, make sure that he's okay, right? And soon, yeah, he developed, in fact, a stronger sense of, I feel... looking at him, stronger sense of purpose that he now want to work hard and do well for his family.
Yeah, you know, I find that about education, right? Recently, I had the chance to reflect on my lifeline. So we were doing an exercise where we go through reflection of at what point, what happened. Mm. And as you were talking about this, I remember when I was 15, same age or so, I was very stressed with studies.
Mm.
And it wasn't a stress that was imposed by my parents or my mom. she just wanted me to, you know, have a good life. She didn't like, oh, you must count out how much and all that, right? She didn't have any expectations. And the reason why I started to do well was, you know, for a very simple reason, EduSave money. Because I can get $500. So I was like, oh, I can get money from studying hard. So I actually study hard. And I don't come from a good school. So either you come from a not so good school, but then you excel in class. So that was my idea that, oh, maybe I can do better in this school. So I remember I was sitting for my chemistry exam, a test. It was just a test the next day. So I was studying since primary three. I was already aiming for a good result for set four for my O-level. So set three, I already start to gear myself for O-level. And I remember that day, I always tell myself, okay, let me take a nap because I was very tired. I'm a night owl, so I always study in the night. Then, so I went to sleep and I intended to wake up in an hour's time.
To study
again, right? Continue to study. Then I woke up at 2 a.m. Wow, I was so angry with myself. And maybe some of you could resonate. I was so angry with myself that why did I sleep past my alarm clock? And then I started to throw a tantrum at 2 a.m. in my bedroom, throwing things around, very frustrated with myself. My mom came into my room, opened the door and said,
"Xiao."
No, she didn't. Yeah, she lacked of that. But the first thing she said was, "If you continue to do that, I'm going to pull you out of school."
Oh.
Yeah. And then because of her words, right, then I actually, okay, closed my book, went back to sleep. And then I actually did well for that test. Oh, okay. But I think what I realized when my teenage year was, there was a lot of expectation that we self-impose also. That we self-impose and we really need maybe our parents to, you know, sort of pull us or encourage us. Yeah, I find that that's the period where I was very vulnerable to susceptible to suggestion from people. I remember they were like, "Hey, let's go out and play," but I don't know what in my right frame of mind say, "No, I need to study for O level."
You are so motivated.
Yeah, but something triggered like before. Yeah, the money was a good factor. Yeah.
All these experiences make me realize something. And I think maybe the message to the people who are listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, who are perhaps pursuing your studies, or even parents of teenagers, right? That if something that you expect or something that happened that's not to your expectation happen, embrace it, because with it comes good things. I spoke about my kid's experience just now, right? After that, the biggest thing that he, in fact, when he experienced that, "Oh, I'm going to lose my friends," and all that stuff. But he didn't lose his friends. In fact, he still maintained good relationship with that batch of friends, and he made new ones.
Yep.
Right? Personally, reflecting on my own experiences, I came from a fairly good boys' school, right, when I was in my secondary school. And I did fairly well in my Sec 1 results that I ended up in the best class. And because you formative years, right, so you make good friends from that. So, Sec 2 did okay. Sec 3, I was very playful already. So I started breakdancing, right? Wow.
Breakdancing,
all the stunt. No, cannot. Breakdancing, then, I didn't do as well. And honestly, that class, all the brilliant, smart people, then got bumped into so-called the second best class.
Oh, yeah. Also they adjust
accordingly. Yeah, they adjusted, in Sec 3, right? So, so drama lah. So I thought, I lost my friends. Same thing as how my son felt, right? I still remember, very dramatic. I got my report card, right? Then went home raining. So I walked in the rain. Then drama is, I lose my friends. I'm going to go to the second best class. But turn out, honestly, the Sec 4 class, so fun. I got a new friends. And that batch of friends have different way of having fun. And it was very enjoyable in the end. Sec 4. So the thing is, if something did not come, did not go as planned, embrace it because you may experience new things.
Yeah. What about the highest point in your life? Like, what were you? You have accomplished so many things.
Actually, I was thinking about this because you sent me some of the things you may want to talk about. What highest point? I struggle to identify one, to be honest. Okay, I reached a stage. So by the way, I'm 54. I know I don't quite look like this.
14, yeah.
The, a lot of articles are saying that the best time in anybody's life is actually over 50. I actually agree, you know. I find that after 50, you perhaps, okay, maybe financially a bit more stable, a lot of the whatever are loans and all that, you start to settle already, right? So less of worry, kids growing up, less of worry. So you want to live your own life. So that's why I was asking, oh, what is my highest point? I just feel that I haven't quite reached my highest point. It's still going higher and higher. Yeah. So my basic principle now is every day, live happily. Lah. Whatever I do, live happily. Drink this yin yang, also must enjoy, you know. Approach it that way. I run a lot. So nowadays, before I start my run, when I run, right, last time I don't think about it. But I make a conscious move that, hey, I'm going to enjoy this run. No matter what, whether I'm tired, whether it's a long run, short run, fast run, I want to enjoy my run.
Wow.
And that's what I do. So I think everything I do now, I want to enjoy it. Everything that I do, right? Just embrace it, do the best, and enjoy the success that you see in the team growing. That's most important. So I'm enjoying myself.
Yep.
Without crazily stretching the budget, if I can see something nowadays I like, then buy law, right? If it's not so crazy, if not, you know, don't put you in debt. Not asking anybody to anyhow spend money, it's not that. People who know me know I'm very ngiao one. Which is very true.
Yeah, never buy me kopi, no.
Hey, hello, I just kopi, no. You say you don't want.
No, like he's really very modest. Yes. Yeah, he's very, very modest. So,
small things, you know, just go for, I like to go for my solo trip once in a while.
That's
to
true.
Take photographs. I haven't quite done it. So, nowadays I'm like that. So if I don't need to spend too much, can spend a bit, just be happy and just do it.
So the thing about Tengkit is he's really a happy-go-lucky guy. Like, I've never seen him being stressed. He's always keen
to stress.
You know, it's like chill. We all say, he's a chill. You know, it's like the swan. People always describe me as a swan. I say, why? I say, you're like very graceful up there, but actually
it's like feather.
You're like, crazy. You know, Which is true. Yeah, you know, once you're in that position, it's like, okay, everybody, keep calm.
Compose.
Compose. Don't buy it. After that, you just binge. Puncture everything. So, you know, our topic is always about farewell.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always very curious whether, because you know this topic, we've been friends for so many years. Have you ever thought about when the day comes, how would you like to say, or how would your farewell be like?
Okay, I look at it two ways. Okay, because you're in the business, so I'll talk about that one, which I don't really have any plans. But how I wish I would pass on is one day super happy, then I get tired, lie down, then I go. That's the best, right? So I don't want to spend my old age lying in the hospital or wheelchair. Then try to get entertained by playing games. I try not to. I want to be as active as I can be. That's why I'm still very active, doing my runs and so on, as much as I can. Then until my last ounce of energy, I'm still like happy.
Break dancing.
Then one day go home, sit down on the sofa, watch Liverpool game. Then that's the best way to go. Honestly, right?
I think
that's
the best way to go. Your life,
right? Then you live all the way to the last second, right? Watch Liverpool beat Man U one day, then. You never walk alone. You never die alone, right? So I think that's the best way. Okay, then how do I want to celebrate my funeral? I guess based on that, you say, oh, why don't do a Liverpool tea? Actually, no leh. I guess I just maybe want to have a party, everybody come together and celebrate what I have been through in my life. No specific theme and all the stuff.
So if you are like a fly, you know, you come back, let's say you can see...
Hey, fly very dirty. Can describe me with a nicer insect.
Butterfly.
Nicer.
So when you start to... Because I always envision that, right? If you know, when I die and if I have the option to become a butterfly to come back, to just to see the wake and the funeral, how or what will be
true or not? People say come back, butterfly is the...
Interesting that you ask this, because I always see that.
So really, got butterfly?
Not just butterfly, but...
But is it because of the flowers around the reef? That's why got butterfly.
Not really, but it's very interesting because it could be a dragonfly. Dragonfly, I've seen a few times.
A lot. Yeah. Actually, I've seen
yeah,
so.
Like it's very interesting when, you know, beginning of this year, I actually have to take care of a funeral of a friend. Mm. He gave me all his instructions a year before because he was dying. So he told me what he wanted. Mm. So that moment, it was the last night and we were doing the paper house, you know, burning. So I was sitting with my friends. We all were there for the last night, right? And then for some reason, I was like having this thought in my head and I wanted to like walk over to the paper house. Mm. And then as I was walking, I said, so I say his name. And then I say, I hope you like what I've done for you. Mm-hmm. And this meets your expectation. Mm-hmm. So as I look at the house, I was looking at the figurine. Then I looked down and there was a dragonfly. Mm. Yeah, on the, you know, there's a driveway in the paper house. So I sort of take that as acknowledgement that, you know, he recognized or he's there, present with us.
How could it be? Yeah. I mean, I thought about it, like, how can the spirit manifests back in the insect so fast?
But do you
a few
think
days, the insect can, from egg, embryo, to become insect and fly back, man.
I don't know, man.
You
know
what
I mean,
that's why I never
quite
understand you. But it
no
seems like you're right,
me.
I remember, I think it was my dad's funeral week as well. Then got butterfly.
Yeah.
We always thought maybe the reef, then got flower, then flower come back, man. That's about it, lor.
But you don't see them in the night. Most of the time you see moth, yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but moth, I get that quite a bit. But there are instances where once, I always remember this, I took a picture of that moth. We were just sitting down to commemorate a life of a person. This lady who has passed, she's fairly young, 46 years old, she passed. And as I was just talking to this friend of mine and we were in her house, suddenly the door swung open really loud, you know, bam.
Wind.
You thought it's the wind, but there wasn't any wind. Really? That's the thing. And so then my friend's mom was with us. Mm. She got a shock. Mm. And then she got a shock. Mm. Even my friend got a shock because both of them said that this door is always locked. Why is it open? Mm. Yeah. Mm. So it swung open, but I was quite chill. Usually, even my husband always feel that I don't react. Mm. I always, even like people scare me, I don't like scream. Mm. So I was just watching them. And then the next thing, I saw something flew in. And then it landed on the
moth.
Table. Yeah, it's a moth. It's a big moth. And it's a beauty with prints, you know. And this was like maybe midnight because we were drinking whiskey and like chilling.
Bojo.
Yeah, next time I show you, okay? Yeah, so then, yeah, the moth was there. And interestingly, the mother was so scared. I was like, hey, chase him out. Then we like, no, I think it's her. Yeah, so we leave it alone. And she stayed there until like when I left, 3 a.m. She's still there hiding under the basket. So maybe scared the mother was slam something on her. No, but we're like, leave her alone, yeah.
Your question is what? So butterfly, you want to ask
what
me?
What would you like to hear?
What would
what
I
people
like to
say
hear?
About you?
I think it's very natural to say all the things that, how good I am, or how nice I am. Maybe not lah. Maybe it's just, to hear maybe stories about how I helped them before or how I've made an impact. I guess that's what I would like to hear.
So you see, like at a farewell, nobody really cares about your results. At the end, nobody say, hey, your GPA didn't score well, right? English. Yeah. It's really about the life you have impact and all that.
Impact.
So what is the, on your tombstone, have you ever thought about, or tombstone or your obituary?
I break dance before. No.
Get a break dancer.
Tombstone, what to write? I never thought about it. I guess it's just like maybe it's as simple as
dedicated. How
be happy. Just like be happy or that kind of stuff.
Live life
yeah, without any regrets.
So if there's any message that you would like or advice to the audience, what would it be?
I guess embrace each day like your last day. I know it sounds very cliche. As I said, nowadays, actually I have nothing more to ask for in life, to be honest. Right? So I am in that kind of mode. Mm. I still work very diligently. My boss, hopefully when you hear this or you see this, yes, in my work, right? I'm very serious in my work. But other than that, when I find time for myself, I try to do things that make me happy, right? Mm. So yeah, embrace each day like it's your last day and just make sure that you're happy doing it.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Thank you. Any other messages that you want to
no
share?
No, talk enough already. La. So enough, anything, you know where to find me. So as I said,
your LinkedIn?
My LinkedIn is you find me, I'll find my name.
Thank you.
I'll be there. Then my Black and White Let's Talk podcast.
Yes. Oh,
my Instagram for photographs.
Yeah, photo goal.
What else do I do? That's all.
Yes. And running.
Oh, yeah, running. Saturday. Yes. I run quite a lot. I run very regularly, most of the time on my own. But Saturday, I do run as a guide to Running Hour. So this is a co-op for Running Hour as well, which is a running club for special needs runners. So quite a few of us are guides to runners who want to run, but they may need some help, right, in guiding them. So they could be visually challenged runners or intellectually challenged runners. So we're there to help them. So almost every Saturday.
You need to sign up, right?
We need to sign up. The location changes, so because we want everybody to experience different routes, right? Mm. So best way is to go to runninghour.com or go to Facebook, and all the details are there.
All right, so there you go. You know, Thinkit living his life as usual and being happy and staying happy.
Yes.
So thank you so much once again for being on Dying to Meet.
Thank you for your Yin Yang.
Yeah, and then please Yin Yang, and please support his Black and White podcast as well. All right, until the next episode of Dying to Meet You. See you.
Bye.